Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. We'll pick you up.
Hallelujah. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I am Apostle Charlene Johnson Cook, and I am here to welcome you to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, January 17th, 2022. And as always, we begin each and every program with the word of prayer, because for those of you that know me, you know that if our Lord and Savior Jesus is not in it, your sister, the bishop, is not with it. Amen. So let us have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now to your throne of grace just thanking you for yet another opportunity to come out, Lord God, and praise your holy name over the airwaves. Lord, we want to thank you for Minister Tina, who will come and bring a word on forgiveness. Lord, we just ask that you give her preaching and teaching power from on high so that she may preach your word with conviction. And Father, I want to thank you for the Spirit of Life family that is present. I want to thank you for Bishop Lester Carver. I want to thank you for Mother Mitchell and every other member that is here listening on tonight. Lord, we just lift them all up to you, and we give you honor and the glory and the praise. We pray, Lord God, that our listeners will have a ear to hear and a heart to receive your holy word so that they might live a more abundant life in you right now. It is in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, saints of God. We are so glad to be here with you on tonight. I want to first and foremost say happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Hallelujah. We will be discussing him later on in the program. But first, we are going to kick this off with a principle that Dr. King was very familiar with, as our sister minister, Tina Blynn Brown, brings us a message on forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I'd like to give a special thank you to Bishop Charlene Cook for giving me the opportunity to speak with you this evening. But before I get started, please allow me to have a word of prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for another beautiful day you've made. Thank you, Father, for giving us the time together to worship you and honor you. Thank you for using me as your clay to deliver the message you want your people to hear tonight, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
About forgiveness. Lord. We know that it is by no coincidence that the people who are listening tonight to your broadcast are meant to be here to hear your word, Lord. It is our hope that if there is anyone who is listening this evening who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, Lord,
yes, Lord,
they give
Jesus.
Their life to you tonight by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ,
yes,
as their Savior.
Yes.
We give you all the praise and the glory, dear God, through your Son, Jesus' mighty and righteous name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Well, saints of God, this evening, we are going to be delivering a message about forgiveness. Forgiveness. So how many of us right now are holding on to unforgiveness? How many of us are angry, resentful, because we haven't forgiven? How many of us are ashamed of our own behavior and we're having a hard time forgiving ourselves? That would be me, right? Sure, it would be probably each and every one of us that's listening tonight has something that we are holding on to that may be holding us back a little bit from forgiving. So what does Jesus say about forgiveness? How do we forgive others as well as ourselves? Well, you know, I do know one thing for sure, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes.
Wow. So God loved us so much. He gave his Son to die for us, to forgive us of our sin. That's pretty huge. His Son endured everything unimaginable so that we could be forgiven if we repent and we ask God into our heart and ask for forgiveness for our sins. Right? But if we don't forgive others, how can we ask Christ to forgive us? Well, the first thing that I know how to do is to pray, pray, and if all fails, pray again and keep on praying. So in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25, it says, whenever you start praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive you your transgressions also. That's pretty big. Forgive them. As we're asking to be forgiven, we must forgive, right? In order for our transgressions to be forgiven.
Amen.
So let's think about it. What does that exactly mean to us? Like, if we go to the Father to prayer and we ask for forgiveness of our own sin, then who are we not to forgive other people for their sin? For our brothers, our sisters. We must forgive them, right? Well, that sounds pretty simple, but honestly, it isn't. It's actually a challenge that we probably go through on a daily basis. How do we forgive somebody who's done things to us that are unthinkable? So what do we need to do to open our body, our mind, and our spirit to be open to forgiveness? How do we let go of that bitterness and resentment that we've been holding on to for so long by not forgiving that person who has sinned against us? How are we going to do that? Well, I know one way is by building a relationship with Christ. I know walking with Christ, following his word, praying with him, getting, you know, involved into a ministry like Spirit Alive has helped me grow tremendously. I know that when we do these things and we follow our relationship with Christ and we get into his word and we read his scriptures about forgiveness and other things that come up in our life, we do feel relieved a little bit, right? It helps us build that forgiveness for ourselves first, though. Because if we don't forgive ourselves, how are we going to forgive anybody else if we haven't forgiven ourselves? Very important. So we're more than likely, pardon me, we may have to pray and repent on a daily basis, maybe even throughout the day. Maybe something comes up, we're prayed up when we leave the house, and maybe we came across something that triggered an unforgiveness or a resentful feeling or an anger feeling. Maybe we have to get into prayer more than once a day. So how many times should we forgive our brother and sister? It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who has sinned against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, 77 times. 77 times? So what that's telling me, personally, is that there really is no limit on how many times you can forgive your brother or your sister. However, that does not mean just because we forgive that we excuse the offense of what they did. We can set healthy boundaries and choose to not be around that person if they're not safe, right? Those people who have hurt us, we know in our heart they need forgiveness too, but it's hard to forgive them when we have our own hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment stuck inside of us, right?
Yeah.
So we must still pray for them, and we still pray for God to help us forgive them. Forgive me, Lord. I have sin in me because I have unforgiveness in me. I have resentment in me from the unforgiveness, which is making me angry because I can't forgive this person, right? Very important that we really work hard together when we're trying to do this. Maybe call somebody in your church. Call somebody that is your partner, like I do every morning, to get that foundation solid. Because sometimes when we try to do it by ourselves, we find ourselves spinning, right? So when we hold on to unforgiveness, what exactly does that do for us? What does it do for us as Christians when we're holding on? Okay? We're holding on. Well, it doesn't do anything for us, really. The only thing it does for us is set us back in our growth of Christ. It keeps us stuck in our own sin by not forgiving others. We squash
Amen.
Our own blessings that God has for us. Do you ever notice that people who hold on to unforgiveness are unhappy? They seem to be the ones that always have negative things happen or affect them to them.
Amen. Say that.
It's kind of like the Eeyore syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah? It's kind of like the Eeyore syndrome. Stuck in. It's never going to happen. Not going to happen to me. Stuck again. You know, they're always just moaning and groaning, right? Well, if we keep doing that, we stay stuck in our sin, right? It's never going to happen. Well, we're putting it out there. We're telling God we don't have faith in him. We're not believing in him because we're stuck over here, right? Well, thanks to God,
yes.
If we don't stay prayed up on a daily basis and we don't repent to God and we don't ask for our forgiveness of our own sin, then who are we to be unforgiving of others? God is not going to bless us with this type of attitude. We get caught up with, oh, but that person did this and that person did that. It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. I'll never forgive them for what they did. Well, God is a forgiving God, and he is the one that does the forgiveness. Who are we to be the judge? That's for God to do. That's not our job. Our job as followers of Christ is to bring unsaved people to Christ, or people who may have fallen away to Christ, remind them
yes.
of how
Teach,
powerful
baby.
God in Christ really is. Our job
yes.
is not to be unforgiving and unloving and keep pointing fingers at that person for their sin, right? We can't keep pointing fingers at them when we haven't even looked at ourselves. And
yes.
been forgiving ourselves. It's very important that we stay in prayer. You may have to pray quite a few times when you're throughout your day just to get you on the right track, and that's okay. Because our job as followers of Christ is to bring the unsaved people to Christ. That's the whole point, right, of being a Christian. God wants us to bring more people to know him, to love him, to know that they are saved. They can be saved by accepting him in their heart, by asking for forgiveness, repenting of their sins, and they will have forever lasting life, which is awesome. I think it's awesome. God's a mighty God. There's nothing he can't do, right?
Amen.
So, you know, he uses us as his disciples, apostles, whatever you want to call us. He's going to choose who he wants in his kingdom. He's going to put us in their path so that we can help them. But they're not going to see us if we don't have God's light shining through us, because we're stuck and we're holding on to things that are not of Christ. They're not of God. They're in our own way. We're blocking our own blessings. We're blocking other people's
yes.
blessings by
yes.
not
Teach.
Forgiving
them. Yes.
We're blocking someone else from knowing Christ, because Christ isn't going to put that person in our way, because he doesn't want us to be a bad just them to judge us like, well, that's a person of Christ. Well, they're sure not acting like it. Geez, they're really angry, or they're really bitter, or they're really, you know, they're not being Christ-like, right?
Yes.
So having unforgiveness yes. in our heart only hurts us. It stops us right in our tracks. We can't move forward our relationship with Christ if we don't forgive others, right?
Amen.
But now, sometimes for your own safety, though, sometimes for our own safety, we may have to turn over to God. We may not be able to be around that person. Maybe it's unsafe for us. And that's okay, too, if we turn over to God, because it's not safe. God will handle it. He knows everything. And he knows the situation. So there's no reason to worry, no reason to be afraid. If that person that you're trying to forgive and let go of the anger and resentment and bitterness is a threat to you in any way, or they're going to harm you, you know, they've harmed you in the past, and it's not healthy for you to be around them, that's okay. You pray about that and you turn it over to God, and God will take the reins from there. But we must ask first for forgiveness of our own sin for being unforgiving, right? So in the book of Matthew,
Amen.
Chapter 6, verse 15, it says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you of your transgressions.
Amen.
Ouch, that kind of hurts, right? If I don't forgive you, I'm not going to be forgiven.
Learn that word.
It scares the heck out of me. I don't know about you, but it scares me. So I better get on to forgiving so that I don't squash my blessings, because I don't want to be held back in the kingdom of God. If something happens to me tonight and Christ takes me home, I want to go to heaven. That's where I want to go. I want to make sure I'm staying prayed up. I'm in my word. If something comes up, I can look it up in the Bible, and all the answers are there. All the answers are there in his word. We just have to look it up, do the work, stay prayed up, forgive ourselves, most importantly, forgive others who have sinned against us, no matter the sin. Doesn't mean we have to go hang out with them. Doesn't mean we have to go over their house. But that may be something we have to do every day, and that's okay. That's all right. So that is what I have for you this evening. Stay in prayer. Make sure we're forgiving ourselves as well as others. And we give it to God when it's not safe for us to be in that person's presence to be forgiving. Amen.
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 Amen and hallelujah. What a wonderful word on forgiveness. And I want to thank Mr. Tina for so beautifully articulating that. And on today, we are indeed celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King. We're remembering the man, and we're living the dream. And part of living his dream is to be a person that forgives, because his entire life was earmarked with acts of forgiveness. Now, I never assume that anyone knows anything. So for my young people that may not know who Dr. King is, he was a pastor and a civil rights activist. He was noted for a significant role he played in bringing an end to racial segregation of the African-American people of the United States. And in pursuit of freedom and equality for African-Americans, Dr. King was arrested and detained many times. He was stabbed and almost killed by a Salem in Harlem while on a speaking tour. But you know what? He maintained his resolve to forgive, and he continued his nonviolent struggle against racial inequality. Huh. Now, he said he picked that idea up from Mahatma Gandhi's philosophy of nonviolence in India. You see, in the face of oppression, intimidation, and death, Dr. Martin Luther King maintained a forgiving spirit. He said that forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. Now, although he was an eloquent speaker, in 1963, his I Have a Dream speech was attended by over 250,000 people and was regarded as one of the biggest civil rights demonstrations in history.
Yes.
In the speech, Dr. King said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, the suffering that Dr. King experienced in his struggle for freedom and justice for we as African-American people didn't make him despise authority. Mm-mm. See, he was arrested and detained for about five times under various circumstances. First, he was arrested for supporting a boycott. Mm-hmm. Then they, he stood up against those that said, we don't have to ride in the back of the bus. He stood with Sister Rosa Parks and said, yes, that's right, we do not have to sit in the back of the bus. Second, He was arrested in Atlanta because he went in the restaurants and they were having a sit-in. And so he was arrested again. And then he was arrested on two more occasions. But despite his arrest and his detentions, he drew strength from the power of love, forgiveness, and nonviolence. Dr. King says, forgiveness does not mean ignoring what has been done or putting a false label on an evil act. It means that the act no longer remains as a barrier to the relationship. It no longer has power over us as individuals, so it will no longer affect the way we treat others. He further said that forgiveness is a catalyst, creating an atmosphere necessary for a fresh start and a new beginning. You see, anytime we talk about renewal in the body of Christ, there is going to be some repentance. There is going to be some asking God for forgiveness, because that is the only way that we can have a new beginning, that we can get a fresh start. And then we are free from that mental block that will impede us from new relationships. Forgiveness means reconciliation. It means a coming together. And without this, no man can love his enemies. And at the top of the program, you heard Lionel Richie so beautifully sing, Jesus is love. He does not love. He is love.
Yes.
Okay? So if today, as we look around us, you know, we're looking at the powers that be. We're struggling with COVID. We're struggling with health care. We're struggling with so much. But what we have to do is turn that over to God and forgive. Forgive them. We need to be like Jesus. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, their wrong is to their shoes. But that doesn't mean that we are not called to forgive. And it does not mean that we are any less ministers of reconciliation. As Minister Tina said, we're not forgiving for them, saints of God. We're forgiving for us. We are forgiving so that we might be forgiven.
Yes.
So we have to remember always that unless we forgive others, God can't forgive us.
Amen.
And we are giving power to hatred. See, Dr. King understood like Jesus. If you're going to, he said, the word of God says, how can we walk together unless we agree? Huh. Well, how can we agree if we don't love one another?
That's right.
And how can we love one another if we can't forgive one another our faults? Like she said, we don't condone it, we don't excuse it, but we don't give it any power. Hallelujah. We do not allow it to stop us from doing what God has called us to do.
Yes.
Every child of God should have a vision of forgiveness and reconciliation. That's an activity of forgiving that brings the vital healing, that allows vital healing and reconciliation to take place. We should be fostering and practicing forgiveness, because forgiveness has the power to transform deep-seated responses to memories and legacies of injustice, conflict, and war. It can liberate people from being imprisoned in their past and those long-ingrained mental and emotional conditions created by such legacies. And yes, I'm talking about systematic racism here. Faith and spiritual traditions have long guided us and inspired us to awaken the best of our human potential, to practice love, mercy, forgiveness, and reconciliation is to reshape our very destinies.
Yes.
We have to understand that our forgiveness is an activity that arises directly out of compassionate consciousness. Ah, yes, sir. You see, compassion is an indispensable spiritual disposition for every faith and every religion, as well as for everyday human beings. Forgiveness is fostered by our experience and unconditional love and mercy. And it is an inner calling to live responsibly. It stems from our ability to see the bigger picture.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You see, we need to practice forgiveness because it is a most profound expression and manifestation of our spiritual human nature. And it is a catalyst for inward and outward change. Hallelujah.
Yes.
To love one's neighbor as oneself means that the efforts to seek forgiveness for oneself, for ourselves, is related to our endeavors to forgive and receive forgiveness from others. Our human journey of forgiveness and reconciliation can be navigated freely and voluntarily. Sharing forgiveness can only be inspired and not demanded. But if you heard what my sister said, and you love Jesus, and you love God, God said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actively walk in forgiveness, we will see tangible examples of it. And they will be able to be identified and highlighted through practical and effective actions that will lead to reconciliation, conflict resolution, and peace building. Hallelujah. Because forgiveness and reconciliation are an indispensable part of our journey to peace. And in our interdependent world and our quest for restorative justice. Now, we know that throughout history, acts of forgiveness have helped to de-escalate national and international conflicts and to restore and sustain harmonious relationships in the daily lives of our families, our communities, and our society. We need to offer, hallelujah, a paradigm of forgiveness. We need to walk in it. We need to live it. We need to demonstrate it for ourselves, for others. Hallelujah. And we need to tell everybody that same forgiveness is available to them through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every child of God is a minister of reconciliation. Every child of God, hallelujah, has been called to forgive and operate as Christ operates. And you know what? He died. As my sister said, he didn't swoon on the cross. He didn't faint on the cross. He was crucified. He bled, hung, and died and rose so that we could come to him and ask for forgiveness, so that we could live that abundant life. You see, the enemy doesn't want us to forgive one another. He wants us to hold on to that old hatred, as Minister Tina said.
Yeah.
He wants us to hold on to those old resentments. He wants us to hold on to those old grudges. He wants it to fester and bubble up, giving us that bitter, resentful spirit that does not show the love of Jesus to anyone. Unforgiveness will hurt you, as the minister said, more than it hurts anyone else. So on today, saints of God, as we honor Dr. King, who honored Jesus, hallelujah, we need to learn and live this lesson on forgiveness. Because if any man was an example of what it was like to walk in constant forgiveness, he forgave his jailers. Dr. King forgave his jailers. He didn't hate them. He didn't come out and talk about them and tell everybody, oh, they were wrong. No. He forgave forgave them. And he ministered to them. Just as Paul and Silas did so many years before him. Hallelujah. That's what forgiveness looks like. When you can stand, hallelujah, in love for love's sake. Said, I don't like what you did, but I love you. Now, I might have to love you with a long-handled spoon from afar, but I'm going to love you because I want to be obedient to my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, at this time, if you're sitting in the studio and you would like to have a word on forgiveness or about forgiveness, or you have a question about forgiveness, you may ask your question, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you are sitting in our chat rooms, either of the three chat rooms, you can type your message or question, and I will relay it back to our speakers, our speaker, and our beautiful anointed staff that is also here with us. Any of us will try to answer your questions. But since Bishop Carver, you're in the house, why don't you go ahead on and give a word? Put your, hallelujah. Put your 2 cents in, bruh.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me, Apostle Cook?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, you know, that was an awesome teaching. And I think that for the body of Christ, for all of us to advance in the Lord, we have to master the fundamentals of our faith. And forgiveness is key. And
yes,
one of the things that I hope everybody heard Minister Tina say tonight is that if we do not forgive others, then we cannot be forgiven.
Cannot be forgiven.
And, by, yeah, and that's so important because people don't want to hear that. They want to think it's optional. And we tell, we allow people to think that so many of the commands of God are optional, that they think they can just do whatever they want as if God isn't everywhere. And God isn't all powerful. And God isn't all knowing, you know? Is like,
yes, amen.
You have to honor God with his,
yes,
with his presence by obeying his commands. And
yes,
one of the things that's important about this psychologically is that if you do not forgive others, then you can't receive the forgiveness of God because
that's
you
right,
can't, you don't believe.
Amen.
You're an unbeliever.
Amen.
And that's the,
yes, come
when
on,
we
God,
call ourselves believers, when we call ourselves believers, we believe that the blood of Christ paid for all of our sins. And when you believe that, then you understand that there is no individual who's going to transgress or sin against you as badly as you have transgressed and sinned against God.
Come on,
entire life.
Yes.
So you've been forgiven for all that sin, but you can't forgive somebody else for whatever they did to you. It's not going to be more than you did to God. And
that's
when
right,
you get it straight, when you understand that, then, and Apostle Cook said something a couple of years ago that really made me think critically. She said, you can't forgive yourself. And when she said it, I wasn't so sure if she was right about that, but she is. She's correct. Because we receive forgiveness from God when we believe and we receive the payment for our sin, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if it was something we could do ourselves, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die for us and shed his perfect blood for our sin. So to understand that, God forgave us with the only thing that could pay for our sin, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, when we reject that, that's called the unforgivable sin. You can't, there's no coming back from that.
Come back from that one.
So forgiveness is at the foundation of everything related to our faith. So when we get past ourselves and we understand that, and this was one of the verses I was hoping to hear tonight, the one where it says if someone slaps you in the face, on the other cheek, and then slap you in the other cheek, that doesn't say, that doesn't sound like long-distance forgiveness to me, right? If there's another verse that says, if somebody takes your coat, he's like, give me your pants, too.
You know?
If there's another verse that says, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile with him, that's unjust, go 2 miles with him, right? And we're giving God glory by letting go of all this worldly stuff, letting go of our pride, letting go of our ego, and realizing it's not about us. It's about us getting glory for God by trusting the power of God. And then the reason we pray for our enemies is because if they don't submit to the power of God and do right, then they got to deal with God. And Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, God doesn't say that the people who come against him or his people. God knows how to handle it, right?
So I
really want to thank you for starting the year out, Minister Tina, with such a powerful teaching and getting us thinking about the things we need to be thinking about and realizing that forgiveness is not optional. It's absolutely required, and God needs us to be obedient more than to sacrifice whatever it is we think we're doing for him. If we can't forgive others, whatever else you're doing is a waste of time, and then if you're not doing that enough, you're really in trouble.
Say that. And say for God, our brother is serious. Amen. God bless you, man of God. Hallelujah. He told it tonight. I just want to say, you know, he's right. It is not optional. Nothing concerning God is optional. When you read your word, you will see where God says, if you, then I, if my people who are called by my name, okay, it's not optional. It's a command. And again, I repeat, if we love the Lord, then we will keep his commandments. Amen?
Yes.
Mother Mitchell, would you like to have a word?
Thank you, Bishop. It's all been covered so well by Minister Tina.
Yes, but you can still encourage.
And the gentleman that spoke. But I just want to say one of the most important things that we've heard, addressing this to our young converts that comes in every Sunday, forgiveness is not optional. If you do not forgive those who do hurtful things to you, God cannot, in his righteousness and the awesomeness of all that he is, he cannot forgive you. He will not forgive you. So keep that in mind when somebody does something and ain't nothing to it. It's just junk. Throw it away. Forgive them. Say, well, and you don't have to forget it to forgive them. You can say, well, they did this to me, and I know it hurt me, but I'm going to forgive them anyway, because you can't hold on to that and not forgive them and think you're going to get a blessing behind that, because you're not. It just won't happen for you.
Amen. That's
so,
right. That's
so
right.
Just know that forgiveness is so important. And if you've got to go to 10 psychiatrists to understand forgiveness, I kind of feel sorry for you, because you're not going to hear a lot about the Lord when you go. You need to go to the Lord with that and say, help to learn to forgive, Father. That's where I am right
amen.
Now.
Hallelujah.
I need to know how to do that.
Thank
now.
You, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. Amen. Now, if you are sitting in, if you are under the sound of our voice and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you have heard from not one, not two, not three, that's one for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but four people, saints of God that love you. We want you to have all of the benefits that God gives us as his children. And if you remain, as Mother Mitchell said, in your sin, and unforgiveness is a sin, then you give God no choice but to tell you to go straight to hell. Let me reiterate. Hell is a place, and if we walk in unforgiveness and we haven't asked the Father to forgive us, that's a real place. And we will not pass go, and we will not collect eternal life. So I come to tell somebody tonight that Jesus is your get out of hell free card. What you need to do is stop, drop, and give Jesus Christ the only thing he's ever wanted, you. And it's not hard. You don't have to get all dressed up and run into a building and go up before the whole congregation. No. All you need to do is bow your heart and pray to the Lord in sincerity. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner.
Help me.
Please forgive me of my sin, because I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you came and you died and you rose for my sin. You could make it personal right there for my sin. And I want you to come into my life and save me. Lord, rescue me from myself. And then you change me. You make me. You mold me into what you would have me to be, so that I can help draw others into your kingdom. I thank you for your love and your for your forgiveness, Father. Through your Son, Christ Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, hallelujah, we want to be here, all of us here at Spirit Alive want to be the first to say, welcome to the family of God.
Yeah.
And what we suggest that you do, not only do we suggest that you continue to walk here with us on the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Lester Carver has been teaching, also having awesome teachings on Tuesday night. And there's something for everyone here at the Spirit Alive Network. But furthermore, I am a servant leader that I always want you to get involved in your local church. I want you to be around the saints. I want you to learn how to walk and talk and hear how true saints of God do it. Then study to show yourself approved. And all you need to help them is the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have no degree from no seminary to understand the Word of God. All you have to do is, Father, teach me your ways. Teach me your precepts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Help me to understand. Because we truly want you to be able to forgive your enemies so that you can be forgiven. We want you to be able to forgive, to love, to have joy, peace. Hallelujah. We want you, too, to be able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, that's all in your welcome basket when you open that door to him. You now have an abundant supply of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love, joy, peace, all those beautiful fruit of the Spirit. You just have a wonderful fruit basket. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, I want you to learn how to walk in them and use them, because we do everything that we do to the glory of God. I would like to once again thank Minister Tina for that powerful message. This sister is just coming along in the Lord. I praise God for her. And as I told her this morning, to see someone that seeks the Lord, wants to please the Lord, just wants to do his will and be obedient to him, is a breath of fresh air. And I am so blessed that God saw fit to send her our way. So, Minister Tina, I want to thank you for that beautiful job. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. And for my dear friend, brother, pastor, bishop friend over there, left Pastor Les Carver, thank you, my brother. You always come through with a word, and I appreciate you so much for all that you do for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This brother is an architect by profession. But I tell you, he builds the lives of people far greater than any of those beautiful buildings he creates. So I just want to give God all the glory for him. And as always, I want to thank the Lord for my mother, Mother Shirley Standard Mitchell. We just praise God for her love and support and just being here. And we thank God for all of you. And although none of you wanted to speak tonight, we are still going to encourage you. We are your family. We know it's global television. I mean, excuse me. Lord, I'm on the TV tip, Jesus. I spoke it again. All right, we know we're on global radio. But you know what? We're all family here. And we would love to hear your praise, your worship. We'd love to hear your comments. So just pray that the Lord will give you a word, because that might be the word that someone else needs to learn how to forgive, to learn how to love, to learn how to seek God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So let God use you. Hallelujah. So this has been Taking It to the Streets with Bishop Shalene Cook. Our beautiful anointed speaker of the evening was Minister Tina Brown, and we, of course, was joined by some of our beautiful Spirit Alive staff in the persons of Mother Shirley Mitchell and Bishop Lester Carver. We pray that you have heard something that has blessed your spirit and uplifted your soul, hallelujah, and given you cause to want to live a transformed, abundant life in Christ Jesus right now. We pray that you will walk with us on tomorrow evening, hallelujah, at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and join Bishop Carver for his Tuesday night teaching. He is really teaching on, he will, hallelujah, he will transform every area of your life with his teaching. He is thorough, and it's just a blessing to listen to him. Every time I listen to him, I know I'm blessed. So we just pray that you continue to walk with us, and we're also inviting you to a very, very important, very special program on Wednesday, the Spirit Alive Network, in conjunction with Laboring Together Against Violence, will be holding their human and sex trafficking forum, and we are going to apply the word of God to every area of this. We're going to be talking about prevention. We're going to be putting it to the, you know, we're just going to be praying, and we're just expecting God to move and to begin to heal wounds. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, and we do pray that we prevent this from happening to other children. So if you have children, I invite you to get your children and yourself and get in front of your computer, get on your phone, and be listening in on Wednesday night.
Yes.
So we just thank you again for listening.
Indeed.
We praise God for all that he is and all that he does. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our house to your house, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Beautiful job, everybody. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Thank you, Bishop.
Love you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Love y'all.
Love ya. Love ya, Mama. Love ya.
Love you guys.
Have a beautiful evening. Thank you. Praise God. Bye now.